Mark Cove on Hate Street. This is FieldPod.com. The Week in Georgia and English coming to you from sunny San Francisco, California. Today is Thursday, October 5th, 2017. On this date in 539 BC, the army of Cyrus the Great of Persia takes Babylon, according to the Gregorian calendar. 861, founder of the Tau Clargeti monasteries, Grigol Khanzeti, dies. It is celebrated on this day by the Georgian Orthodox Church. 1793, Christianity is disestablished in France. 1914, the first aerial combat resulting in an intentional fatality. 1962, Dr. No, the first of the James Bond series, is released. 2000, protests against President of Yugoslavia, Slobodan Milosevic, reached their height, leading to his resignation 2 days later. 2011, Apple co-founder Steve Jobs dies after battling pancreatic cancer. 2012, Gori-born composer Edvard Mirzoyan dies after a long career of combining neoclassical compositions with elements of Armenian folk music. It is World Teachers Day. Georgian schools are celebrating. Birthdays are the first president of the Czech Republic, Václav Havel, 1936, and Chechen homophobe, pathological autocrat, and Instagram star, Ramzan Kadyrov, in 1976. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tabealpod.com or send us an email at tabealpod@gmail.com. Well, its name is Majority Faction approved constitutional amendments through Parliament on the 26th of September following a review from the Venice Commission that they portrayed as positive. Its longstanding six-member coalition faction also voted with the majority, while UNM, the European Georgia, and European Georgia walked out. The Alliance of Patriots voted against the amendments. The vote was held despite Speaker Irakli Kobakhidze's request to convene a special session of Parliament immediately after receiving the opinion of the Venice Commission. The request was rejected by President Georgi Margvelashvili, but a special session was held. Anyway, the President offered to meet on September 28th with both sides to discuss a possible veto. But Otsneva rejected this offer. Instead, the president met with only Otsneva representatives on the 4th of October. Otsneva has the votes it needs to pass, even if the president vetoes it, meaning to override a veto. It will go into effect on 2024 elections. It is a sad day for Georgia's constitution. Otsneva wanted to push this through, and it shows the lengths they will go in order to win at all costs in 2020. So be forewarned. These amendments shift the government to a parliamentary-style system with a president elected by lawmakers. They also legalize the purchase of land by foreigners, codify marriage as heterogeneous, and foresee instances whereby religious practices can be restricted, such as state security and crime prevention. Yikes! The religious provisions have been the object of concern by a coalition of 19 non-Orthodox religious communities who say they routinely face discrimination in Georgia, which indeed they do. Finally, the amendments remove the direct election of the president and enable a party who dominates in an election to acquire more parliamentary seats through redistribution after elections in a particularly insidious and gratuitous clause. The opposition has held that these final measures unfairly support the ruling party. They're right. Otsneva denies this, claiming that all of the reforms make Georgia more European, which is BS. Would have been nice if the Venice Commission was more clear, but they knew it was going to pass anyway, so they were, as they say on the continent, circumspect in their criticism. They called the amendments a, quote, positive step toward the consolidation and improvement of the country's constitutional order based on the principles of democracy, the rule of law, and protection of fundamental human rights. They've disliked the pushback of implementation and lack of consensus, but think their issues are less important than creating a system which allows for more pluralism. Additional recommendations provided by the commission include removing the prohibition on the creation of political parties on territorial grounds, reconsidering the rules limiting the role of the constitutional court, and reviewing electoral legislation and modifying the processes of the appointment of Supreme Court judges to better guarantee their independence. Exactly the idea. United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights presented a report on Georgia on the 28th of September to the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva. The report discusses technical assistance provided by the UN to Georgia and human rights developments in Georgia, including Abkhazia and South Ossetia. The report welcomes cooperation, etc., but concerns about the judiciary and lack of economic and social rights for vulnerable populations and the Council's lack of access to Abkhazia and South Ossetia, saying that this raises legitimate questions about the rights of people living in these areas, especially ethnic Georgians. The report also discusses the negative impact of borderization activities. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili was in Berlin this week, meeting with newly elected Chancellor Angela Merkel. The chancellor noted that Georgia's reforms mean that it is a good business climate for future Georgian investment and economic activity. She also thanked Georgia for its cooperation in Afghanistan, as Georgian soldiers often guard German military bases. In addition, the Prime Minister met with German Minister of Defense Ursula von der Leyen in Tbilisi this morning, where they discussed German-Georgian defense cooperation. Organization for Security and Cooperation Europe, OSCE Parliamentary Assembly Special Representative on the South Caucasus, Christian Wiegenin, was in Georgia on the 27th, 28th of September to discuss the humanitarian situation in Abkhazia and South Ossetia. Various senior officials also visited several IDP communities. President Georgi Margvelashvili visited Portugal on his first official visit on the 1st of October through 3rd, meeting with Portuguese President Marcelo Rebelo de Sousa. They discussed Georgian-Portuguese relations and the need for Portugal's continued support for Georgia's EU and NATO integration. Minister on European and Euro-Atlantic Integration, Vika Dolidze, met with State Department Deputy Assistant Secretary for European and Eurasian Affairs, Bridget Brink, in Washington, D.C. They discussed issues related to EU and NATO, security threats related to South Ossetia and Abkhazia, and the need to raise public awareness about anti-Western propaganda campaigns in Georgia. On the 3rd of October, Italian Deputy Minister of Economy Ivan Scarafato and representatives from 40 Italian companies visited Georgia and met with the Prime Minister. Scalfarotto confirmed Italy's firm support for Georgia's sovereignty and territorial integrity, called Georgia an island of democracy and stability, while discussing ways to build Georgia and Italy's economic relationship. Lithuania moved to officially call Georgia Sakartvelo starting in 2018. Currently, they use the Russian name Gruzia. Georgia has been trying to discontinue the Russian version of their name for years. It was a special priority of Misha's. This particular change came after the summer visit by Lithuanian Parliamentary Speaker Simas Pranketis. A committee of the election of judges to the European Court of Human Rights has recommended Lado Chanturia for the Georgia-nominated position for the court. Council of Europe's Parliamentary Assembly will now vote on the candidate list and must reach an absolute majority to proceed with the nomination. He's been around forever, German-trained. He copied closely the German civil law system in the 90s to make it Georgian. Under Shevardnadze, didn't hit it off with Misha, and then went to Germany. He's a serious jurist. Georgia hosted the NATO Cooperation Capability Concept Evaluation and Feedback Program, sounds like a NATO name, annual conference this week in Tbilisi. The conference brought together NATO and partner countries to discuss the OCCENF, which is a program that helps partner countries develop military forces that meet NATO standards. Georgia currently has two battalions participating. The Caucasus Resource Reporting Center polled citizens about NATO. They found 66% of Georgians support eventual membership, 23% do not, and 11% do not know or care. These numbers have remained fairly static since 2012. The biggest change has been a shift in individuals changing from do not know or care to disapprove. Those approving of NATO membership, for the most important reason given, was state security, followed by potential for economic growth. Those who disapprove believe that it would lead to conflict with Russia. Related news, at the Geneva International Discussions meeting, Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Grigory Karasin said that increased NATO activity in Georgia posed a serious threat of destabilization of the South Caucasus and the security of the Russian Federation, Republic of Abkhazia, and Republic of South Ossetia. No mention about what the Russian occupation of moving the ABL fence does to relations. Afkhan Mukhtarli, the Azerbaijani journalist abducted from Tbilisi in May with the complicity of Georgian authorities, has been denied bail in Baku. His lawyer says that he is suffering from diabetes and heart disease and jail plans to appeal a decision. Last week, Mukhtarli was awarded in absentia the Eastern Partnership Civil Society Forum Pavel Sheremet Journalism Award 2017 for his extraordinary courage in journalism and outstanding achievement in the case of freedom of speech in the Eastern Partnership region. An explosion near the Stepanitsmina border crossing into Russia killed one Georgian border guard and injured two others. They were hospitalized with severe burns. The early investigation believes that the explosion was caused by a gas leak, and a criminal investigation for negligence has started. 18-year-old Georgian from the Pankizi Gorge, Muslim Kushtanashvili, died in Syria after traveling there 2 years ago to fight for Islamic State. He made international news at the time because of his youth. At least 26 Georgians have died in Syria since 2012. Confrontation on September 30th between police and approximately 150 local residents in a predominantly Armenian village in Akhalsikhe municipality, Samskhachavakheti, resulted in 4 injured officers and damaged several police cars. The residents were attempting to erect an Armenian stone cross, or Khachkar, to mark a gravesite in the yard of a 10th century Georgian Orthodox church that is currently being restored. Police used rubber batons to prevent them from entering the yard, and the residents responded by throwing stones. Interior Minister Grigori Mkhebishvili visited the area shortly afterwards, spoke to locals, arranged for 2 detained protesters to be released. In the village in Adigeni municipality, also in Samskhachavakheti, Muslim residents claim that a local Christian leader, Archimandrite Nikolos Gatsadze, has threatened to break their legs if they continue to pray in a ruined building that they have been using in the absence of a mosque. The building is of disputed historical heritage. Both Orthodox and Muslim populations claim it. 6 people were arrested at the National Movement rally in Tbilisi on Sunday, October 2nd. UNM was protesting amendments made to the Tbilisi land use plan that will make it easier to transfer 2 pieces of land near Old Tbilisi to Bidzina's Panorama Tbilisi project. European Georgia Elena Khoshtadia and independent mayoral candidate Aliko Elasashvili also condemned the amendments. In parliamentary news, Chair of the Human Rights and Civil Integration Committee Sopo Kiladze gave a speech at the General Diab debates of the 36th session of the UN Human Rights Council. She pushed for greater parliamentary oversight on UN Human Rights Council. She pushed for U.S. Oversight on UN human rights operations in Georgia, including more hearings and meetings with operatives and control of how policies are implemented. The Alliance of Patriots delegation is in Russia for 5 days, meeting with Duma members and the Federal Council. They've discussed the possible restoration of diplomatic relations between the two countries and humanitarian issues, and most likely their own personal financial arrangement for the members of the delegation. The meeting has drawn condemnation from both the ruling party and opposition. UNM Member of Parliament Roman Gotsaridze called the visit part of Russia's hybrid war. European Georgia MP Sergo Ratiani said that the visit was endearing Bidzina to Putin, and Otsneba's Tamar Chugoshvili called the move unacceptable given the current state of Russian-Georgian affairs. President Georgi Margvelashvili presided over a session of the National Security Council on the 29th of September. Council discussed the number of Georgian armed forces, the National Defense Plan, and NATO cooperation. Georgian officials, international organization representatives, South Ossetian authorities met in Erkneti to discuss the issues related to life along the occupation line. They discussed the case of 2 Georgian men, 1 killed, 1 imprisoned, as well as the construction of a new road that Georgian officials consider a security threat and an illegal borderization process. The new Auditor General Irakli Mekvabishvili replaced 2 out of the 3 deputy general auditors on the 2nd of October, keeping only the auditor that had previously been affiliated with Otsneba. This has led to concerns about the neutrality of the State Audit Office. A group of 9 civil society organizations, including TI, released a statement expressing their concerns. Speaking of the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, they published a study on the business connections held by members of parliament and other officials, local and national, particularly related to legal entities of public law, the nefarious creation known as LEPLs. The report pointed out potential conflicts of interest and undeclared assets, calling out the worst violators by name. They found many cases of illegal participation in companies, several cases where members of parliament-owned companies received large government contracts. The report obviously alienated the named individuals who took on a campaign of name-calling and denial. TI reported in kind, noting that despite all the mudslinging, the MPs in question did not provide any evidence to disprove the corruption allegations. On a positive note, however, 2 MPs called out for illegally serving as company directors declared they would step down from those positions. There has been a giant increase in the number of and number of employees of LEPLs as a way for officials to give jobs to their friends and relatives. to do nothing for the most part. The LEPLs are very poorly cataloged, overseen, and the government wants to keep it that way. Fantastic job on the research, T.I. In an effort to combat just the sort of corruption T.I. has reported, the government adopted an anti-corruption strategy for the 2017-18 year following its ascension to the chair of the Open Government Partnership last week. The government lauded its relatively low levels of corruption compared to other Eastern European countries, but did not refer to the Transparency International report. The strategy has 16 priorities, including establishing a fair public service salary system, which has always been a traditional problem, refining conflict of interest laws, adopting freedom of information measures, improving controls on public procurement bids. It remains to be seen if there's enough political will to enforce these goals. The IMF also released its assessment on Georgia's fiscal transparency. It's a mixed report, receiving good or exceptional marks on 18 of 36 criteria. They praise Georgia for making many reforms to enhance transparency over the past decade. They note that budget reports are more complete and timely, that public budgets include more policy, and financial risks are better disclosed. On the other hand, the IMF found that fiscal reports do not provide a complete picture of general government activity, that financial statements are not audited independently, that there's no reporting on fiscal compliance. In short, Georgia has a lot of sound policies in place to help transparency, but it's difficult to prove that these policies are actually being followed and provide a complete picture. In municipal elections, 14 people are officially registered for the Tbilisi mayoral race. The candidates are getting more specific about their policies. Otsneba Kahikaladze spoke about transport and the environment. If elected, Kaladze plans to spend about 800 million lari on the development of road infrastructure and transport systems. Interesting to see how the contracting goes there. He also pledges to rehabilitate recreational areas and build new parks. European Georgia's Elena Khoshtaria spoke about social services, jobs, transport. She promised to increase pensions and social allowances by 50 and 70 lari, respectively, to create 35,000 new jobs and to implement comprehensive transport reform, including purchasing new municipal buses and something that she developing a system of tram lines and cable cars. She also plans to transfer the railway away from the city center and use the land to create a park, which would be a giant mistake in my view and was the plan of Misha and Zura Adesvili, mainly on property development grounds and them getting excited about all the development they could do along the railway tracks. It would be a grave mistake to take that out of to take the Vokzal out of the center of the city. Speaking of Zura Adesvili, Unity New Georgia's Georgi Vashadze, Zura Adesvili's old assistant, released his plan for Tbilisi, calling the success formula. He aimed to reduce bureaucratic costs by 80% by opening municipal service halls, which is what he oversaw before. Democratic Movement Free Georgia candidate Kaja Kukava named social and ecological problems and the preservation of Tbilisi's historical landscape as some of his priorities. Finally, independent candidate Aliko Alessashvili campaigned heavily on the environment and more responsible property development. He vows to tighten construction norms, to restrict tree removal procedures, to transform abandoned facilities into green spaces, and to develop recreational potential for the river. Be interesting to see how all of this goes. I suspect that Kaladze and Aliko will go into runoff, but if the turnout is as low as it might be, then Kaladze might make it in the first round. It all depends really on turnout, which depends on cynicism and enthusiasm. National Democratic Institute, NDI, released pre-election findings covering the period between August 29th and September 5th. They stated that Georgia was mostly calm and peaceful, but there was little visible competition or contest of ideas and policies. The report states that Otsneba's media visibility and financial resources give it a distinct advantage and that opposition parties argue that such an uneven distribution of funds and resources make the prospect of a robust competition impossible. NDI will continue to monitor throughout the election. The Society for Free Elections and Democracy, Fair Elections and Democracy, released a report covering the election period between September 5th and 25th, found 13 cases of political pressure or threats, 2 cases of violence, 4 cases of hampering campaigns, 9 cases of illegal campaigning, 3 cases of illegal use of administrative resources, 1 case of alleged voter bribing, and 4 cases of damaging of campaign materials. Another election concern involves Kaladze's participation in a charity football match where some civil society organization claimed would be used for campaigning for Otsneva. Several people have been fined by the election commission for various offenses, including a school teacher in Shuahevi municipality in Ajada, after she posed a photograph of her students holding Otsneva flags. Muslims in the Dmanisi municipality of Kmemokartli claim to have been forced to swear in the Quran that they will vote for Otsneva in the upcoming elections. They also claim that the local Otsneva activists threatened to cut off welfare payments if they were refused. Otsneva says this is not true and is part of an opposition smear campaign. A debate over religious freedom and school dress codes has broken out in Kakheti after a 14-year-old Muslim girl was sent home from school for wearing a hijab. The head teacher who sent her home is also Muslim and said that the school prohibits all head coverings and that the hijab is not a part of the local Islamic policies. The Ministry of Education also states that this is a school policy issue and has nothing to do with religious freedom. September 27 marked the 24th anniversary of the fall of Suchumi. The Prime Minister, the President, Parliament Chairman commemorated the event as a memorial to fallen soldiers in Tbilisi. In Suchumi, Russian soldiers participated in a parade celebrating their victory. On the 28th of September, three IDPs from Zugdidi attempted to cross into Abkhazia and apply for asylum on the basis of Georgian government neglect related to poor housing conditions. They were prevented from crossing by the Georgian police. The Abkhaz Foreign Ministry released a statement saying that they are watching the Catalonian situation with particular interest and are saddened to see apparently civilized European countries use rude physical force against secessionists. Syrian government delegation visited Suchumi on September 27th after an Abkhaz visit to Syria in August. They discussed their common allies and the future eradication of terrorism from Syria. Abkhaz Minister of Economy Adgur Ardzimba is preparing a free trade agreement between Abkhazia and Syria. The Georgian Ministry of Foreign Affairs protested, calling the visit a continuation of provocative policy towards Georgia by the Russian Federation and its occupation regimes. Heavy rain in western Georgia has caused landslides and flooding. A bridge was swept away in Ajada. Many villages are without water and have seen infrastructure damage. Emergency teams have been dispatched to the area. Tbilisi City Court has imposed a 3,000 lari fine on Fadi Asli, head of the International Chamber of Commerce in Georgia, after a judge accused him of slander. Asli accused the judge of corruption on TV in March after the judge lifted hefty dumping fines from Philip Morris Tobacco. The court ordered Asli to retract his statement, calling for respect for the judiciary. The ruling has faced criticism from local rights groups and political parties claiming that it threatens freedom of expression. Asli plans to appeal the decision. Asli is totally right in this case. Go Fadi, and good for you for appealing. A worker died at the Tbilisi State University construction site on the 28th. Workplace safety investigation has been opened. Medical journal The Lancet reports that Georgia has achieved the Millennium Development Goal of reducing neonatal deaths by two-thirds in the last 20 years, thanks in part to reforms in maternal and child health care since 2012. Good job. Geostat announced that Georgian economy grew by 4.7% from January through August 2017. The growth was mainly driven by increased external trade and exports, particularly ferroalloys and fertilizer. The Fraser Institute, conservative Canadian think tank, ranked Georgia 8th in the world for economic freedom. The ranking is based on, among other things, the size of government, taxation, rule of law, property rights, and regulation. Hong Kong is ranked first. Venezuela is last. Georgian research group, the Center for Social Sciences, released a study that found that men in Georgia are 1.5 times more likely to find a job than women. That among the study's participants, men's salaries were 55% higher than women's. Study also found that participants with a bachelor's degree were three times as likely to successfully find a job than those without, and that every additional year of formal education increased women's salaries by 9%, but men's by 11%. European Commission has proposed giving Georgia 45 million euros in macro financial aid. This is intended to support Georgia's budgetary position, balance of payments, and to support various reforms that will help bring Georgia closer to the EU. 10 million euros will be granted, and the remaining 35 will be favorably financed. New Tbilisi Airport terminal opened for business on the 26th of September. The new 12,000 square meter terminal is connected to the old one, has a two exit boarding bridge, 5 new plane parking lots, parking spots. The automobile parking lot has now been expanded by 250 spots. In total, the project cost $33 million. Georgia Airways announced that it will begin 5 new flights from Tbilisi to Paris, Barcelona, Brussels, and Bologna. They will begin on March 2018. Additionally, Egypt's Air Cairo will begin round-trip flights connecting Tbilisi and Cairo this November. They'll be twice a week. Iran announced that it's going to send a trade delegation to Tbilisi on the 8th of October to attend the 6th annual Iran-Georgia Economic Commission. The delegation will be led by Iran's deputy head of commerce. He's called on business leaders in a wide variety of industries to attend the forum and give their input. The prime minister attended a lunch last week to celebrate the establishment of the Caspian Energy Georgia, which will be a Georgian-Azerbaijani talk shop and conference and conduit for coordination. In related news, Georgian, Turkish, and Azerbaijani officials visited a construction site near Kars last week and announced that freight service on the new Baku-Tbilisi-Kars railway is expected to begin in 2 months. If anybody hears about any passenger service, please let us know. So far, there are none, as far as we hear. Georgian Farmers Association launched a new body called the Farmers Council to identify and find solutions to shared agricultural problems. 120 farmers from 60 municipalities will contribute to the council's decisions. The council has been on work since 2016. Projects approved by the council will be funded by the EU or by Oxfam. Georgia's Minister of Justice, Ted Tsiloukiani, has opened the 48th Community Center in eastern Mountainous Bakuriani region, it's not the 48th in Bakuriani, it's the 48th in Georgia. It's offering more than 200 public and private sector services. From now on, locals will be able to use the service with the Ministry of Justice, Agriculture, and Education at the scene, as well as the services offered by the Social Services Agency, Magdi and Liberty Bank Services, free computer hall, a library, meeting room, free for locals, a Skype room, pay boxes, and other services are available from inside the center. Alleged assault of two gay men by police while in custody in Batumi this September has prompted a worldwide petition to the Georgian government to better protect LGBT individuals. It's run by the international rights group All Out, and so far it has collected 38,000 signatures. The petition also demands a timely, impartial, and efficient investigation of attacks by the perpetrators and by police officers. Also calls on the government to establish measures to fight homophobia, biphobia, and transphobia in the police and introduce an efficient policy to monitor and prevent hate crimes committed by police officers. The village of Nikozi near Gori opened a small library as part of the Equilibrium Movement. This movement aims to establish libraries in villages near occupation lines and is supported by the Ministry of Culture and Monument Protection. Museum to Georgian Wine opened in the city of Yiwu in China. It's called Windows of Georgia and is based in a large leisure hotel. A Georgian Wine Museum is run by a Chinese guy who has been operating a chain of Georgian wine houses for 2 years. If successful, he also plans to open other Georgian wine museums in Shanghai and Beijing. Also in China, 15 Georgian artists are participating in the Beijing Biennial, the international arts festival held at the National Art Museum. The theme of this year's fair is the Silk Road and World Civilizations, which focuses on the exchange of ideas and integration of contemporary East-West cultures. Georgian display paintings and sculptures related to this idea. Denmark's largest film festival, CPH Pix, held its first Georgia Day last week, screening Nana Evtkimishvili and Simon Gross's multi-award-winning feature, My Happy Family, and Rezo Giganeshvili's feature drama, Hostages. There was also a reception that introduced festival goers to Georgian food and wine. Georgian ambassador to London, Tamara Berichashvili, opened Georgian Food Week in the British Parliament's cafeteria. She's optimistic about general enthusiasm in the EU is experiencing towards in the UK, is experiencing towards Georgian cuisine and wine. 2017 World Chess Championship, which was being held in Tbilisi throughout September, is over, with Armenian Grandmaster Levan Aronian taking the title after two tiebreakers with Chinese Grandmaster Ding Li Ren. A team of injured Georgian servicemen won the gold medal for sitting volleyball, beating out the UK in the Invictus Games in Toronto. The games are patronized by Prince Harry to recognize the sacrifices of those soldiers and to help them rehabilitate. There was an Instagram picture and video that was went all over the place with Harry and the winning teams, including the Georgians. Philip de Montebello, the director of the Metropolitan Museum of Art from 1977 to 2008, arrived in Tbilisi last weekend. While in Georgia, he'll be visiting Tbilisi and regional museums, conducting public lectures, and leading seminars for local museum staff and students. Meme this week is a scandal-inducing BuzzFeed video originally called Americans Try Russian Drinks, featuring, among other things, Borjomi and Tarragon Soda. The Georgian internet responded with furious comments, and the title has since been changed to Americans Try Drinks Popular in Russia. Over 500,000 hits. Check it out. OC Media released a report on life in Gali, a town in Abkhazia with many ethnic Georgians. Their report is pretty grim. Georgians in Gali face social discrimination, practical barriers to documentation, access to financial services, and their pensions. Many feel forced to take an Abkhazian passport to survive, while others make frequent and risky border crossings to access Georgian institutions and affordable goods and services, including medicine. A second OC Media article on Abkhazia compiled interview results from young peoples who were born during or after the war. A wide range of opinions exist, from dislike or disconnect with Georgia to pity to desire for engagement. BBC Travel has published an article about the journey of journalist Joe Worthington to Gori, the city, using the city to explore the day-to-day effects of relations, the tense relations between Georgia and Russia. Forum 18, a watchdog organization supporting civil and political rights, published their opinion on the new constitution. Specifically, they cite a number of potential religious freedom problems inherent in the new language of that constitution. Turkish newspaper The Daily Sabah published a feature on the historical and future impact of Georgians in Istanbul. Their presence is traced back to Constantinople in the 9th century. The oldest buildings are still standing are a monastery and an archival library. Georgians today are active in the city and are especially noted for their thriving restaurants. A number of larger news outlets published articles about Abkhazia in the week around the anniversary of the fall of Suchumi. The Guardian published an overview of Suchumi featuring photographs of decay, fun facts about Suchumi and the Abkhaz, and some loosely related videos. New York Times Lens blog published a series of photos by Russian photographer Ksenia Kulashova titled Looking for the Soul of Abkhazia. The photographs don't focus on the post-Soviet post-war desolation that is often depicted and instead show everyday life in Abkhazia with a few baby animals thrown in. Finally, National Geographic published a beautiful series of photographs depicting the lives of three Abkhazian IDP women at a semi-functioning hotel in Tbilisi. Take a look. Arch Daily, the architectural website, posts an article about Georgia's Soviet architectural heritage featuring the work of Italian photographers Roberto Conte and Stefano Perego. They focus on brutalist and constructivist buildings and include the usual architectural highlights from Tbilisi, but also venture out to Chiatura and Zestaponi, among other places. All this stuff to read is posted on our forum. This week's dive bar number is 37,000, the number of people in the Georgian armed forces. 37,000. On Friday the 6th, Wales and Georgia compete in the 2018 FIFA World Cup European qualifier match at Dinamo Stadium in Tbilisi. Wales is currently second behind Serbia, while Georgia is second from the bottom of the rankings. Georgia scored its first qualifying point after a draw with Wales last October. Tickets are available in the arena office. Tbilisi Soba will be celebrated this weekend, mostly in Old Tbilisi, starting at noon on the 7th, going until 10 p.m. on the 8th. Events include an auto show, kids' corner with face painting and other kid-friendly activities, kite festival, traditional fruit festival, exposition of Georgian stamps, lots of dance and music. There'll be a host of accompanying smaller events around the city, Tbilisi Color Festival in Kikvidze Park at 3 p.m. More information in English and Georgian can be found on the Facebook event page City Hall has done called Tbilisi Soba 2017, Tbilisi City Fest 2017. Also on Saturday the 7th at 1700 is World Animal Day Adoption Event at Fabrica in Tbilisi. Visitors will be able to play with, walk, and adopt dogs and puppies. There will also be children's activities, including coloring books and materials for children to learn about dog behavior and dog safety. Radio Expo Tbilisi is also happening on Saturday the 7th from 1500 to 1800 at the City Center Hotel. 23 online alternative radio stations from Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Georgia will be presenting their stations, and attendees will have the opportunity to listen and join broadcasts from the event. Carmen is showing twice this week at the Tbilisi State Opera at 8 o'clock on Saturday the 7th and Wednesday the 11th. The Cajeti Wine Guild is hosting Televino 2017, a wine festival in Tel Aviv, on October 7th from 12 noon until 5 p.m. with opportunities to try different Georgian wines, chacha, and other drinks. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tfeelpod@gmail.com or post the form on our website, www.tfeelpod.com. And we will finish with, from Aix-en-Provence, very cool French trip-hop band, Chinese Man, with a song about San Francisco. This is Washington Square.
San Francisco Bay. They're talking about this famous place, the main beach village way.
Here I come like a deer. If you're with you, then you may set me free. Advice and I see again, you're gonna be here. Then I don't focus on him. Let me share, she didn't see
it. Anybody can move there.
Under my keep my brain. Get a bit of meeting with my friend. Another man, for me, I get it. So that if I ride as my land, I don't wanna leave it for this empty government. It's coming in for me, for you, for us, for them. Who killed the youth in Antietam? Who killed the youth in my girlfriend's champion? A judge and police in the Caribbean. No change of thought, leaving you children. Who killed the youth in Antietam? Who killed the youth in my girlfriend's champion? A judge and police in the Caribbean. No change of thought, leaving you children.
So I got my banjo out.
People cry cause they don't find that love. Get them up, up, make revolution. We know when other houses to go up. I cannot give them all. We know when I get shot. People cry cause they don't find that love. Get them up, up, make revolution. We know when other houses to go up. What do you prepare?
Takes experience the world.
See the youth in the end of a good takeout. See them in the river.
Experience the struggle.
Washing them hands and try to make it better. What do you prepare?
Takes experience the world.
See the youth in the end of a good takeout. See them in the river.
Experience the struggle.
Just washing them hands and try to make it better.
So I got my banjo out. Sipping, catching dust.
Be trapped like many times.
Painting right across the face.
On the mic in my brain, get a video with my friend. On the mic in my brain, get a video with my friend. On the mic for me, I can't let go to the bar, I like my land. I don't wanna live in for listening, go back, my discovery, and for me, for your purpose, for them.
So I got my banjo out.